But I'm going to tell you what. That song breaks my heart. You say, why is that, Brother Roland? Because we live in an age of pygmy Christians. We live in an age where people no longer desire to say, here, my Lord. We have sought after the things of this world, and we quit seeking after the things of God. If I could get you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. We'll start at verse 10, but before we get there, years ago, when God began dealing in my heart for salvation, I was a commercial fisherman. I fished for catfish, sold them to restaurants. God began to deal in my heart, and I understood, because I'd been churched, I understood how to be saved. I understood if you were sincere and you prayed, God would save you. For 2 weeks I prayed and asked God to save me. He wouldn't save me. I couldn't figure that out. I said, why won't God save me? I was miserable. Conviction. And then I said this. I said, Lord, if you'll save me, I'll go anywhere you ask me to go, and I'll do anything you ask me to do. That's that song. Lord, here am I. But the problem today, there's no here am I. Today it's, I am here and this is where I'll stand. Where's God? We think this is a new problem. Every generation thinks this is a new problem. But this is a problem for every generation. If you go back into the book of Judges and you begin to go through the book of Judges, you'll find it matches Christianity today in perfect harmony. I began teaching and I'm thinking, Lord, why in the world would you put me here? So I'm supposed to be teaching this for Sunday school, and I said, I'm in the first chapter, and I'm thinking, I'm on a sinking ship. The Lord said, no, you hang with it. About that second chapter, I began to see things that parallel with the world today, and God began to relate it with the people. By the third chapter, which is where we left and ended up going on furlough, God was beginning to bless my heart in a lot of ways. The truth is, generation after generation after generation has to deal with that. As well as the subject today, I want to talk to you today about the weariness of God. We don't have a whole lot of time, and I'm, if you come here to be comforted by me, I'm afraid you got the wrong preacher. I'm here to knock you out your comfort zone. I'm here to put you in a place to make you think about what your life and what you're doing. I'm here to confront you with the Word of God, that God might deal in your hearts, that you might surrender your life to Him. If you're not here for that, you might as well go ahead and leave, because you're in the wrong place this morning with me. Well, just stay for Sunday school and the pastor. I forgive. Don't listen to me. I'm in trouble already. I told you I was going to get myself in trouble. Anyway, in Jeremiah chapter 6, and we start off in verse 10, it says to this, well, maybe I should give you an introduction before I get that far. Dr. Surratt taught me that much. Anyway, I believe God give us this portion of Scripture that as believers we might see that God is weary with our lack of service. I believe this portion of Scripture here this morning is going to show us that He is weary of our desire to sin and a lack of desire for holiness for God. I think His children weary Him because they're not what He has called us to be. I think in this day and age we understand what the idea of Christian influence is, and we believe that is Christ-likeness. It's two different things. A lost person can have a Christian influence in their life, but they cannot be Christ-like. We are called to Christ-likeness, which means we are called to grow and be more and more like God or Christ every day, that others might see Him in us. In July 1st in Canada, it's Independence Day. July 4th in the States, Independence Day. It's a day that we have a right, or have gained the right, to govern ourselves, that we set our own laws, that we are now a sovereign nation. I think that's a good thing, don't you? I mean, it's good that we have that right. It's good to be patriotic. And I'm ashamed of people that are not today. I really am. I'm ashamed of people that attack the policemen, that attack the service people for all they've given and all they've committed unto us and their willingness to serve. I'm ashamed of that. It's a good thing that we have gained that independence. But there is a day when independence is a bad thing. And that day is when a child of God becomes independent of God. It is never a good day It is the most sorrowful day in that person's life when they decide that they can be independent of God. Because during that time, they become independent of Him, they become a rebel. They become a reproach unto the name of God. So as we start out in verse 10, and if you understand in verse 6, it says, "Ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem." And as you go down, you'll find out that he's talking to his children. And what I want to do, because I know with the influence of the Bible College, and I want you to understand, I realize that's Israel, and I realize that Israel and the church are not equated, but the Israelites were the children of God, and I will equate that today with us as children of God if you're indwelt by the Spirit of God. That's the parallel we'll draw today. And it says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear?" He says, "Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it." God says, "To whom shall I speak? If my children are not willing to obey me, if my children will not listen to me, to whom shall I speak?" He says, and he gives the reason why he will speak is to give warning. The word of God, is this a true word? Is it true or not? It's always true and it'll always be true. God says, in this book, I give you warnings. I tell you how to live your life. I tell you how not to live your life. And what do? You won't listen. And why won't you listen? Because their ear is uncircumcised. Why is their ear uncircumcised? And it says, because they cannot hearken. They don't listen to hear. They cannot listen to be obedient. He says, "Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach." I don't want to listen to the word of the Lord. I don't want to change my life. I want to live my life the way I'm living it. I can go to church on Sunday and I'm happy because I'm a Christian. I can go to church once a week and I can live my life the way I want because I've done my duty. I've upheld my responsibility. No, you haven't. As a child of God, when God saved you, it just wasn't for Sunday morning. He saved you from Sunday to Sunday. You understand what I mean? There is no time in your life you should not be living for God. There is no time in your life that somebody should not be able to look at you and say, "There goes a child of God." If any time they look at you and they can say, "Well, I wonder exactly what church he goes to because I don't believe a Christian's like that," then you're not living the way God wants you to live. You say, "Well, that sounds pretty hard." Well, let me tell you something I learned. God doesn't want wimps for children. You go serve God, there's going to be sacrifices. You're going to give up something. I give you another little secret I learned. God never wastes pain on his children. There's a reason for the things we go through. There's a reason for the struggles that God allows. All these things are in our life. They're either going to draw you to him or drive you away from him. Everything that happens in your life, God intends it for good. But everything that happens in your life, the devil is going to use to try to destroy you. You know what the difference is? Your choice. Do you believe that God is in control or not? If God is in control, then everything that happens in your life, he has allowed it for a reason. And you have to accept it from God for that. It's not why do you allow it to happen, God. It's what do you want me to learn from this? What am I missing in my life that I can grow closer to you? It's easy to blame. It's a lot harder to accept that God is doing this because we need it. But these people, his people, he says, "To whom shall I speak?" They're not listening to me anymore. They don't want to hear the words of correction. They don't want to hear about me. They don't want to learn. He said, "Who can I warn about the things that are coming that they will hear? Behold, their ears are uncircumcised." They're just like the unsaved. They have chosen to live their life apart from me, and now they're not listening. I have become a reproach to them. They no longer delight in me. My friends, if you find this morning that God's word is a reproach to you, if you find this morning that you're not delighting to be in here, you've got a serious spiritual problem. And God is calling for you. Verse 11. Let me just go back for a second. Verse 10, I put beside this the weariness and the warning. Verse 11, I put the weariness and the withholding. The Lord says, "Therefore I am full of the fear of the Lord. I am weary with holding it in. I will pour out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of the young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the age with him that is full of days." God says, "I am full of fury." Now, you will say, "Well, I'm a child of God. I don't have to worry about the judgment of God on me. When I die, I'll stand before God and he may judge me for things I did not do, but God, I won't have to worry about hell. Well, God can make your life pretty rough here. You know, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do, and I'll go any place you want me to go. That was easy to say and hard to do. You tend to balk at times. Lord, you want me to do what? I got to go where? I can remember when I surrendered to go to Ukraine. We were actually coming back from a service here, Wednesday night service. We was almost home. And we had known about where we was headed, and my wife just started crying. She said, I don't want to go. What do you do when your wife doesn't want to go and God's called you? I didn't know right off, but Lord, give me wisdom. I said, honey, I tell you what, I need 8 weeks on the field to graduate with a missions major. If you'll go for 8 weeks and God does not show you can live there, we'll never go back. My ministry first is to my wife. You know, and you say, well, Lord's first. Well, that's a given. I don't even entertain that because that's a given. But I can't minister for him if my wife is not with me. And there's no way without unity in the family that you can have any kind of successful ministry. So we went for 8 weeks. We come back. I said, well, honey, what do you think? She said, I can live there. That wasn't me. That was God. We spent 10 years there. I never intended to leave. But God says it's time for you to go. What a heartbreak. You invested your life, and I can only imagine what pastors do when they go from 10 or 15 years in one church and 10 or 15 years in another. You lose a part every time you leave. But then God puts you in a place that you gain another part. The ministry is wonderful. But God says here, I am full of the fury of the Lord. God says, I'm angry. But he also says, he said, I am weary with holding it in. God will pass judgment on his children here in this world. You may be saved, but if you're not living for God, do not expect the blessings of God. Expect God to show his wrath on you. Expect God to do everything in his power to draw you back. Now, let me say something before you get upset. Let me just say this, and let me answer it before you get mad and throw up tomatoes or rocks or whatever you got handy. God doesn't care about your health, and God doesn't care about your wealth. People get upset when I say that. I can see sometimes their faces, and you get all mad and say, yeah, God loves me. Sure he does. But he doesn't care about your wealth, and he doesn't care about your health. You say, what do you mean? Well, it's very simple. Does God or can God raise the dead? Yes or no? Can God or did God create the heavens and the earth and all that's therein? So he's able to defeat death, and he's able to give all wealth. Both of these are within his power. What is not within his power? Your relationship with him. See, that's free will he's giving you. God will take your health and he'll take your wealth to get that relationship. God says, I will pour out. I am weary. I'm weary of withholding in. God says, what I want is a relationship. I don't want you religiously coming to church. I want you walking with me. I want time with you. And the time I want with you, I want you to want with me. See, we've forgotten that. We're thinking, well, it's just a matter of ritual and obligation. I'll go to church and I'll, you know, people have seen me and we're all good. No. God says, I am full of the fury because my children are not living the lives I have them live. He's weary of withholding it in. He says, one day I'm going to pour it out. I'm going to pour it out on those who will not live for me. Those who do not love me, those who will not have a relationship with me. If you're going through some things in your life, it could be that this is the problem. But it also could be that God is using you for an example for others. I can't tell you which. He may be using this to grow you. I can't tell you that neither. But you know. You know what your relationship is like with God. You know where you stand. But I can tell you this, God wants a relationship more than anything else with you individually. We forget that. We think it's what we can give to God. We have gotten into the position where we think, I will accept him if. Listen, you need to understand something. God loves you with an everlasting love. He cannot love you more and he cannot love you less. The problem is, where is our heart? What are we today before him? Verse 12, the weariness in the well-being, the weariness in the blessings. It says, and their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and their wives together, for I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. The weariness in the well-being. He says, their houses shall be turned to others. What are your houses? Your houses are what protects you from the weather. Your houses are what protects you from the heat or the cold. The house is where you go where you feel secure. It's where you go to raise your family. This is where you, your central point in your life a lot of times. You spend a lot of time around your house or doing something for your house or fellowshipping. In your, you understand that is a simple focal point. God says, I'm going to take that from you. That which gives you comfort, that which protects you. If you're not looking to me, I'm going to take that. If you're not serving me, I'm going to take that. Then he goes on to say, with their fields and their wives. He said, what is your fields? Your fields back then, and it's a representation, I think, of that which we raise to feed ourselves, that which we use to, we sell parts of this to buy things that we need, to have money to. He says, that which provides for you, I'm going to take. And then he says, and what? Wives together. If you're a husband today, your wife is a comfort unto you. She's the bearer of your children, maybe. She takes care of your house. She takes care of you. See, God says, I'm going to take all that which you depend upon. Why would God do that? The Bible says after that, he said, for I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land. You understand that you wouldn't have verse 10 without the first 9 in chapter 6. You wouldn't have verse 11 without verse 10. You wouldn't have verse 12 without. You understand this is it's going on down and God's laying it out. Verse 12, he says, I can either stretch out my hand to curse you and judge you, or I can stretch out my hand to bless you. See, the decision is still ours. How do you want God to deal with you? We think we deserve more today. We think that God needs to I was in church Sunday morning, and God needs to, he needs to bless me for that. You know, I give money in the offering, and I help missionaries, and you can, listen, that's not what God's going to bless. I'm not saying he won't bless that, but I'm telling you, he can't bless that if your relationship isn't right. That doesn't make our relationship right. It's our walk with God. You know what I really enjoy about the Bible, especially in Genesis chapter 1, when it talks about after the creation, and, we, and actually in the first three chapters of Genesis, and it says, and Adam walked with God in the cool of the day in the garden. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. I don't have a whole lot of time, but how many of you ever asked God if you could walk with him in the cool of the day? How many of you ever asked God that you might be meek like Moses? Have the loyalty and faithfulness of Daniel? That you might have a double portion of the Spirit like Elisha? That you might have the courage of David, the wisdom of Solomon? I prayed for those things all my life. Not too long ago, God laid it on my heart. He says, I've granted some of that. As a child of God, we should be. There's no reason why we shouldn't be praying for God to bless us in that way. There's no reason why we couldn't walk with God today in the cool of the day. You name one reason we couldn't. The only reason I can tell you that we won't is carnality. There's no reason we can't. We have the Word of God. The more time you spend in that Word is the more time you spend with God. The more time you spend in this Word, the more you know God. And the more you know God, the more you love God, the more you become like Him, and the more others see Him in your life. The problem is, I need my coffee. I got to go to work. I got to do this. I got to do that. And where's God? See, it's service over relationship. It's the Christian influence over the Christian relationship. Christ-likeness. God says, you choose how I'll bless you or not. And then we go on to verse 13 and 14. It says, for from the least of them even to the greatest, them everyone is given to covetousness. from those with the greatest authority to the least. I'll just put in from the most money to the least. I put in from the biggest gathering to the least, the smallest gathering. God says they've all become covetous. They no longer my children in the aspect that my children are givers. They're channels of blessing. These people have become covetous. They live in a time when they want more for themselves and not for me. They want more for themselves and they're not worried about anybody else. Is that not the day we live in? Well, let me tell you something. People were no different back then. If there's one thing I've learned on the mission field is people are people. It doesn't matter what culture. They may speak different languages. They may cook their food different. They may have different ways of shaking or whatever. Some countries you got to watch out how they won't kiss you. But you understand, each country is different, but people are people. And they've always struggled with a relationship with God and those things. And you got to come to grip to that. You've got to accept them where they are. And you've got to deal with them on that area. We accept people no matter where they are in life, but we don't want them to stay there. We want them to grow. We want them to begin to be something more in God. And sometimes the hardest part of that is the patience to wait on that to happen. Sometimes you think, this is a train wreck ready to happen. And if I don't do something, lives are going to be destroyed. But you're not God and I'm not God. We just have to trust Him, and sometimes lives are wrecked. You know, most of the people we have are divorced. And sometimes I think they use that for an excuse not to serve. You know, I'm divorced. I can't do that. I say, no, you can't do that. But don't think that just because you're in that position, you have no service for God. You still can serve God. You just need to find out where God wants you to serve. And it will not ever violate the biblical principles that God has laid down. But there's always a place for somebody willing to serve God. You say, well, I can't do that. Well, don't worry about that. Worry about what you can do. I think a lot of times people mess up what service is. And I teach a little lesson, or I used to in the past, that service is really simply this. You're out there in the audience or in the congregation and you're getting ready for a song and somebody's struggling with finding the right page. Why don't you just find a page, give it to them, take their book? You're in here and there's trash on the floor. Maybe the chairs are crooked, something else, and you can do it, and God has shown you to do it, do it. That service. This here is what God has laid on my heart to do. You do what God's laid on yours. We're one body in Christ. And God has placed in each of us something to do. I need to close, so I'm going to skip down to the last, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I always try to do what I'm told to do. 16 and 17. It says this, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, you shall find rest for your souls. It says, stand in the ways. Stand upon the word of God, stand with me, and see, and prove me to see if I'll do what I told you I will do or not. Then he says, and ask for the old paths. How many of you ever prayed, or no, let me take that back, don't use the word pray, desired for the old days? Oh boy, I can remember, and I'll say this. I remember when I was a little boy, we were sitting in there, and we weren't sitting in. It was at night, and I was about 3 or 4 years old, and I'd go in and get in bed with my parents, and Dad was always sleeping on that side, so I'd crawl in his arms. And I remember one night I woke up, and I was looking in the face of a bulldog. Oh, that was something. 3 or 4 years old, I was safe in Dad's arms. And I told Dad the next morning, he said, you was dreaming that night. Well, about 3 or 4 days later, it rained, and that morning when he got up, there's little tracks to the bed and left. I wasn't in there that day. Dad says, we go put up a screen door. He was a believer. See, he was proved. Well, I like those old days, because back then we didn't have screen doors. The windows were up, and there was keys in every vehicle. You didn't worry about it. You don't do that today. He said, wherein is the good way, and walk therein. It's only when you walk with God, it's only when you walk in the old paths that God has laid down, that you'll find rest for your souls. Here's the problem. We will not walk therein. Verse 17, I have set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. The warning. The watchmen were warning, telling them what's happening. Tell them about the word of God. And what did they say? We will not hearken. See, that's where we're at today. This world has offered us so much. We're saying it's very simple. We're not going to walk in the ways of God because we're more happy with the ways of the world, and we're not going to hearken to what we know because we'd rather do things our way. People tell me sometimes that the Christian life is a crutch, that the Bible's a crutch. And I say, well, you take 50 tracts and go out there on the street and see what happens. It's not a crutch. It's a calling. God has called you to bear His name among men. It'll never be easy, because it wasn't easy for Christ. But it'll always be the way that we're to walk in. It'll always be the way of blessing, the way that God can grow us and make us more into what He'd have us to be. I trust that you'll understand today that if you're not walking the way God would have you walk, that you're wearying Him. And if you are walking the way He'd have you to walk, continue to walk therein, because God's going to give you peace, and through your walk He's going to encourage somebody else. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. We ask now, dear Lord, that you'd use us in your ministry, and that you would help us to always be diligent and to walk close with you, that we might be a blessing unto you and to your people. In Jesus' name, amen.